Good evening, Saints. For those of you that was on here last week, you're getting me again. And for those of you that wasn't, it's me. Hey, guys. Good to see everybody. And I'm going to have an extenuation to my study on the riches of the grace of God, even Christ. And I ain't even going to try to end up on talking. But it's been a beautiful day here. It's I hope everybody's having a beautiful day. You're all in my prayers, and I know that we're in your prayers. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for this day. Lord, for all the blessings that you give us in it, Lord, those that we see and those that don't. Lord, we ask that you be with the speaker tonight, and Lord, be with those that aren't able to be here, and Lord, be with those that are on our hearts that need a healing or comforting. But Lord, we just want to thank you, most of all, for that shed blood on the cross and that you did from before the foundation. Lord, we ask you to be with us, for it's in Christ's precious name I pray. Amen. Again, you guys are stuck with me for another session, as we had a shortage of speakers, but we do have a speaker set up that was having some issues, and Mr. Bob got his microphone set up, so he'll be ready to take my spot in 2 weeks. So we got Bob hooked up, got him ready to go, but until then, this is going to be a continuation of the riches of the grace of God in Christ on April 8th, 2025, and your speaker is Tony McCurry. Let's look at Old Testament grace that I've kind of redone from my last study. Personally, I see that God was gracious to Adam and Eve and that he didn't kill them. Honestly, because, I mean, we're starting out fresh, and he says, you shall surely die. Well, let's just say that Adam and Eve found grace in God's eyes, and he didn't kill them. Because, I mean, he's right off the start. He could have just said, okay, let's do this over and do it again. But in God's infinite wisdom, he knew they were going to fail. It's all part of his plan. But instead, he posed the first sacrifice to furnish them with coverings. Even though the word of grace isn't present, it's undoubtedly seen in that God gave them another chance. God found favor with Noah, the righteous man who walked with God. And it's written, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The lesson we learn from Joseph found within the latter chapters of Genesis further shows grace in the Old Testament. Despite being sold into slavery by his brothers and facing numerous hardships, Joseph remained faithful to God and eventually rose to an edge of prominence in Egypt. During this story, we see God's grace adding to Joseph's life, guiding him through difficult circumstances and using him as an instrument of deliverance for his family during time of famine. God showed grace multiple times during the Exodus period, guiding them through the wilderness and ultimately bringing them to the promised land. God's grace is clear in his choice of Moses as mediator for Israel, or you could say, he was God's intercessor for Israel. In their constant whining with the supply of manna and quail, and even the saving grace during the time of trials with the fiery serpents, giving them the bronze serpent to put on a pole to look upon and live as a perfect example of the saving grace of Christ on the cross. Throughout the Old Testament, the lives of the prophets offer further evidence of God's grace. These individuals were chosen by God to function His messages. Often with the face of great opposition and hardship, God's grace empowered them to hold out their divine mission, providing them with guidance, protection, and therefore the strength to endure trials and persecution. The stories of prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Daniel highlight the unwavering presence of God's grace throughout the Old Testament. And we'll get to tonight's study. It's going to be a word study, so to say, on intercessions. As I said before, Moses interceded for Israel, between Israel and God. Moses was the intercessor. As with last week, as we approach the Passover, we need to reflect the grace that we have in Christ and His shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Of His own free will, as directed by the will of our Father in heaven, for the remission of sins, that nobody could have any other way except the perfect sacrificial Lamb of God. The Old Testament and even the kingdom had to live by the law, and in the law was no resurrection, but the ability to live a long life. There was no resurrection given to any that lived by the law, but by the grace of God through Christ. All can have a resurrection hope that believe on His name. We did see that Jonah and other reflections as to Christ's resurrection, but to life eternal is none. In 1 Timothy 2:1, from my word intercessions, Paul says, I exhort, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks made to all men. This is a charge that we have, and I know that I do the best I can in my prayers and supplications. That is the earnest prayers. I was told one time that the supplications is when you get on your hands and knees and earnestly pray to God, other than your simple prayers as you're driving down the road. But intercessions is another thing. That's when there's someone helping you. Intercessions in Appendix 134, 2, and 4 is in Teuxis. It's confiding access to God, giving prominence to childlike confidence in prayer. The Greek form 1783 in teuxis is a noun. It's used twice, and specifically supplication or intercession of prayer. In 1 Timothy 4:5, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. The Webster definition for intercessor is one who goes between or intercedes, a mediator, one who interposes between parties at variance with a view to reconcile them, one who pleads in behalf of another. In Romans 8:26-27, Romans 8:26 says that likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we walked, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When we pray, our prayers, we think, go directly to God. But if they did, God would not be too pleased with our either greedy or sinful or not a prayer that God would appreciate us saying. We have an intercessor. It's the Holy Spirit that delivers that prayer for us with utterances that we can't understand. It might be groanings or moanings. It might be rumbling like thunder. I don't know. But I know when I'm laying in bed and there's a good thunderstorm, I'm listening and I'm hearing God. I'm hearing God every time there's a nice thunderclap. And it just rolls. I'm hearing God. And just imagine that what Moses heard, he heard that, but he was able to interpret what he was hearing. I mean, it's just an awe as to how God does work with people. And Moses being one of them just off the top. But in 8:26, where the Spirit itself maketh intercession, that's the Greek form 52:41, and it's a verb, which is an action. It's used only one time. And it's to intercede on behalf of, make intercession for. The other couple of times I'm going to be using it in my study is going to be the Greek form 1798 or 93, and it's going to be entuned kano. That's a verb also, and it's to chance upon, to confer with, by extension to entreat or favor or for or against, or to deal with or make intercession. Because in Acts 25:24, we see where Festus is basically saying, see Paul, who all his accusers of the Jews, which are the high priest and the chief of the Jews, have cause of accusation against him. It says, and Festus, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, ye see this man about whom all the multitude of the Jews. Well, it's not all the multitude of the Jews. It's just the chief of the Jews and the high priest. Have dealt with me both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. Now, this is accusations against the Apostle Paul. And naturally, they want to have him killed or crucified just like they did Christ. If anything, they're blaming him for things that he didn't do or that wasn't worthy of death. Same gist as it was with Christ. Again, we'll go with 8:26 and 8:27, but 8:26 is, again, the one time that word form is used, and 8:27, it's the other word form that we just mentioned. It says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And in 27, And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. This is the Holy Spirit. The he here is the Holy Spirit. The he there in 8:26 is also the Holy Spirit. So we get to 8:34. Well, let's just read down to from 27 to 34, because we got time. I don't have it on. I thought I had it up. 27. Okay. And we know that all things work together for them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And them whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to those things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is it that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. Now, here it's Christ, but we know it's through the Holy Spirit. In Romans 11:2, we'll just read it, 11:1-2. I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away His people, which He foreknew. Wot ye not what the Scripture says of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel? Now this is Elijah that was made intercessions. In Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That's Christ. Who is our intercessor? It's the Holy Spirit. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is sent by God in place of Jesus Himself to indwell believers today in a way that has never been done before. When watching The Chosen, we've seen Jesus talking to His disciples, and to go over that, one of the question and answer sessions that He had, let's look at John 14:1-18, where His disciples are asking. So Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and he's telling them that he's going to be leaving. And they don't understand why. They hadn't grasped yet all the messages that he said about his forthcoming, about being crucified. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may also, may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And then Thomas said, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. We don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? And then Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him, and have seen him. And then Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. and it sufficeth us. So show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. I mean, these guys are typical Israelites, up one side and down the other. Proof, Lord, give us proof, give us proof, give us another sign, just one more sign, give us, please, just one more, and we'll understand. And Jesus said unto him in verse 9, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very works' sake. The works that they've seen him do. The work that they've seen him do up to this point with all the healings and all the raisings of the children from the dead and the fish in the sea that sank the boats and the walking on the water. They done seen all of this, every one of them, but yet they still, well, show us one more. What do you mean you're going here, you're going there? Show us the Father. In 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. And we could say he here is the Apostle Paul, because this guy really fit the bill. Because I go unto my Father, and whosoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask in anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Intercessor could be put there, because that's what he does. That's who he is. That he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth within you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So this Jesus Christ, Son of God, telling these guys, they've done seen all his miracles. And he's telling them that he dwelleth within you, with you, and shall be in you. Now, we're looking at this from a hindsight, and we have to give, you know, some leeway, because these guys, they hadn't seen the Holy Spirit yet. They've just seen the works of Christ and believe that that is the Holy Spirit doing that, without even understanding the fact that Jesus is doing the work and the Comforter is taking his place. Tonight's study is short, as it's just a continuing of the one that I did last week. But in Ephesians 1:7, where I got the title for this two-part series, and I might have a third, because when we get to looking at grace, and I give a few examples here in a second before I finish. But in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And I just, the more I think about the riches of God's grace that he's given mankind throughout history, and I'm not talking about just now, but from Adam and Eve till today, we are, as Mike would say, spoiled rotten. Because we have the most abundant amount of grace that any human being before our time has even had. I know, well, even being inside the United States, that just adds to our spoiledness because we're protected by the borders and we're not exposed as much to the communists and to the Middle East, those that want to cut our head off. But we are spoiled, but I made a list of the riches of His grace. By the riches of the grace of God, mankind is free from the Old Testament law. By the riches of the grace of God, mankind is saved to eternal life by faith at the resurrection. By the riches of the grace of God, we, body members, are sealed with the Holy Spirit. By the riches of the grace of God, we are blessed with all blessings spiritual in the heavens. By the riches of the grace of God, we are holy and without blame before Him and love. By the riches of the grace of God, we have been adopted by Him. By the riches of the grace of God, He hears our innermost prayers. By the riches of the grace of God, He makes us strong when we're weak. By the riches of the grace of God, we are meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the Holy of Holies. By the riches of the grace of God, we are chosen from before the foundation. By the riches of the grace of God, we have been redeemed from the death of sin by His blood. By the riches of the grace of God, we have the indwelling Spirit that intercedes for us. By the riches of the grace of God, we know the great dunamis, resurrection power that has quickened us together with Christ and seated us together in heavenly places. By the riches of the grace of God, we know the dispensational fellowship of the mystery which was hidden from the beginning of the world. By the riches and the grace of God, we, the body of Christ, will appear with Him at the appearing. Dear Heavenly Father, what more could we ask but thank You? Or what more can we say but thank You for Your grace and for all those blessings that You bestowed upon us? And Lord, we ask that You be with all those that are on our hearts, those that we can't think of, but those that need healing or comfort. Lord, be with our nation, be with our leaders, and Lord, just continue to just be You, Lord. Let Your will be done in us, for it's in Christ's precious name I pray. Amen.